the Lord. Well, it's almost time for me to quit, and I haven't started. Maybe I could at least get started. I think I already started. She said I already started. Well, maybe so. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. And we'll get a start and maybe finish it up then next week. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. I'll wait for everybody to get there. Book of Galatians. We so need understanding of these verses that we're about to read, especially in this day and this age that we live. I'm going to talk to you about serving one another. And you know, there's all kinds of motivations for service. There's all kinds of motivations for service. And there's motivations that are positive, there are motivations that are negative. And let's go ahead and read verse 13. Again, 5:13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Another translation says this: you, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Serve one another in love. Say it out loud. Serve one another in love. Now, an artist once painted a picture of the Last Supper. This was a budding artist. And he took the picture to a writer by the name of Leo Tolstoy, very famous writer. And Leo studied this canvas, and he pointed to the central figure and he said, "You do not love him." And the artist said, "Why, that's the Lord Jesus." "I know," insisted Tolstoy. "But you do not love him. If you loved him more, you would paint him better." Now, few of us are artists in any kind of sense like that. But you know, the Bible teaches us that we're all servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with this in mind, I want to take those words and I want to change them just a little bit. If you love him, you will serve him by giving your best. The scripture says that if we love one another more, we would serve one another better. Yeah, we'll look at some of those scriptures. Paul wrote in Galatians, he said, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature, but rather serve one another in love." I remember some years ago when Elaine and I were going to a denominational church, and this is no stigma against the denominational church. There are brothers and sisters in the Lord, all right? But there was a young gentleman that saw us coming in, and he got up and he started walking just with a smile, and he puts his hand out, shakes my hand, introduces himself. I thought, well, this is wonderful. But it wasn't wonderful. He was wanting to sell me some Shackley. There are a lot of motivations for why people do things and why people go to church. And here, our scripture verse is getting to the center of what should be truth for all of us in our service to the Lord. Talking about our heart, making sure things are right on the inside. There are four basic words in the New Testament that are translated serve or servant or serving. And in all, the basic concept is used in the scriptures about 300 times. I'm Did you think about that? 300 times. We think we have precedence in the scripture if we can find two or three verses. But you're going to see, you'll see, if you look it up, you'll see 300 references in the scripture that talks about service. Talks about service or serving or servants. 300 times. 130 times in the gospel and the Acts, and 170 times in the epistles. Isn't that something? Yeah. And the two words that are used most frequently are doulio, Greek word, or deacono. We get the word deacon. We use the word deacon in church. Someone's asked me sometimes, do you guys have deacons? Well, of course we have deacons, but we don't call them deacons. We call them ushers. We call them greeters. Yeah. They're people who serve in physical ways. You know, the people that cleaned. How many of you know there's a lot, cleaning is a lot more difficult job now in this building than it was over there? A lot bigger, yeah. 10 times bigger. 10 times bigger. How many of you appreciate the fact that the little stink bugs that were all over the... My little sister was going nuts a little bit ago because the no-see-ums. Do you know when I say no-see-um, what I'm talking about? There was, I don't know, was there 100 no-see-ums up against that wall there? Oh, my goodness. And you know, someone sucked them all up in the vacuum, and Paula felt buggy for the rest of the day as the result, you know? Yeah. And you didn't have to feel buggy at all. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Because someone was serving you when you weren't looking. Yeah. Service. Now, on the positive side, this word to serve God and to serve others is in the context of Christian love. That's what we just read. On the negative side, doulio means to become slaves to some base power. You're going to serve something. Every one of you are going to serve something. It's either going to be in the positive or it's going to be in the negative. This word deacono means to minister to someone. And in a more specific sense, in the New Testament, the writers used this word to describe someone who serves people food and drinks and who cares for others in their material needs. In their material needs. It comes from that base word that is translated serve or servant. Yeah. It's described of those who attend to anything that may serve in someone else's interest. Yeah. And of course, this is where we get the concept of the deacon in the church. It's clear from these definitions that this word, or some form of the word, if you look at it, you're going to find it used approximately 160 times in the New Testament. A doulos, a slave, a bondman, a person who served. In the strongest sense, it's someone who gives himself completely to another's will. And this is the concept that Paul is using when he writes to serve one another in love. To give yourself up completely to another's will. It's kind of dangerous, isn't it? Yeah. As believers, we're to give ourselves totally to another. We're living in a day and an age where people don't do that. They want the benefits of marriage, but they don't want to do what it takes to be married. It's easier to live together. Hello? Right? But those people aren't giving each other totally spirit, mind, or body. In marriage, the issue is you're giving yourself completely to that other person for the rest of your life, till death do you part. This is the idea of the servant. Yeah. And what a contrast. I want you to think about that. What a contrast in this modern society that we live in. You look at the newsstands. You look at magazines. You you pull down some kind of article online, and where's the focus? It's on me. It's on myself. Yeah, the thrust of all these publications is I'm important. My rights are important. If my rights conflict with your rights, I come first. If you cannot meet my need and I cannot meet your need, if we can't work it out together, you go your way and I'll go mine. All right? But that's not the idea of serving one another in love. In Charles Swindoll's book, Improving Your Serve, he talks about this pyramid. At the top of the pyramid is I, the big I. And underneath it is the me. And underneath it is mine. Mine. Whenever I think of the word mine, I see what was the Disney movie about the fish? Nemo, Finding Nemo? Yeah. And I see those seagulls, and what do they say? Someone tell me. Mine, 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 mine. That's the picture of our society today. Yeah. The problem with America right now is we have too many. Mine, 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 mine. Yeah. Mine, 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 mine. The problem with the family today is we have too many. Mine, 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 mine. And we see it even being carried over in the church. Yeah. But what about Jesus? What about the one who said, not my will, but thine will be done? Yeah. What about the one that laid his life down for your benefit and for mine? Yeah. Yeah. See, why do people function in the mind, the I, the me way? Well, the reason that they function that way is that's the principle of sin. What is the essence of sin? It's doing what I want to do. I don't care how it's going to affect you. I want to do this. Yeah. Ever since Adam and Eve, ever since they disobeyed God, all of us have become self-oriented. Self-oriented. Men have become dominant and sometimes even cruel, not only in their attitudes and actions toward women, but in their attitude toward all humanity, every human being. And women have become selfish and unsubmissive. Of course, we can say part of that is resistant to the man's domineering attitudes. But the element of truth that's in all of it is this issue of I want to do it my way. Yeah. And left to ourselves, we concentrate on ourselves, on our rights, our needs, and our interests. This is the natural bent. This is the way every one of our children are without Jesus. I want to say it again. This is the way every one of our children are without Jesus. This is the way we are without Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. And yet, here's the Apostle Paul talking about serving one another in love. Serving one another in love. Jesus made it possible for all of us to break out of our self-oriented lives and to actually find a new life by giving ourselves away. And that's his plan and his purpose for your life. Amen. That's his plan for Josh. It's awfully easy to be self-oriented. Me, myself, and I. But life changes the minute you start minding the interests of other people. Your life starts changing. I talked a little bit about what the Lord said to me about Mrs. Hazel Handley. She lived next door to us. And I'd forgotten all about it, you know. I'd forgotten all about it. And Elaine and I, when we came back from Bible school and we're all fired up and love the Lord, and I'm a graduate of this Bible school, and I'm in the ministry, you know. And I'm going down the road on Highway 45. We had, by that time, been separated to start our church over here. And I was just thanking the Lord for what he was doing in the church, and things were going real well. And the Lord gives me this picture of Hazel and Cletus Handley. I just see the picture of their faces, you know. Hazel and Cletus had gone to be with the Lord, both of them. And so we're talking about years later, and all of a sudden, the Lord is showing me the picture of them. And I shared a little bit about the fact that whenever I mowed my lawn, I mowed their lawn. No big deal. Everybody say, no big deal.
No big deal.
But it was a big deal. God made it a big deal. Yeah. When I coated the roof of my trailer, I coated the roof of their trailer. I was just being neighborly. No big deal, but it was a big deal. Because years later, God brings them back to my memory, and this is what he said to me. He said, had you not been obedient there, I could not use you here. Meaning, had I not been obedient to loving my neighbor, he couldn't have used me in the ministry. So my credentials is not Rhema Bible Training Center. Some people think, oh, you went to Rhema Bible Training Center. That's not my credentials. No, what you're looking at is you're looking at a boy who learned to serve his neighbor to the point where God paid attention to it. And God separated us for the work that he had for us further. And it all started, Cody, not because I went to Bible school. Don't you ever miss this. Ministry starts with love. Ministry starts with service. Ministry starts with putting your interests aside for the sake of somebody else. That's true ministry. Amen. And the fact is, brother and sister, we're called to serve one another. Now, Christianity is relational. Now, what does that mean? It's relational. Well, you know, back when I was a young man, they had the song, "Me and Jesus got a good thing going. Me and Jesus, we got it all worked out. Me and Jesus got a good thing going. I don't need anybody to tell me what it's all about." You know what's so stupid about that song? Stupid, capital S. What's so stupid about that song is that God didn't call me by myself. He called me and placed me in the family of God. The context of Christianity in my life had to do with other people as well as me. Isn't that something? I just thought he was saving me from my sin. Well, he was saving me from my sin. But the whole purpose why he was saving me, it was so that I would reach out to the others around me that I had relationship with. And that he would place me in this family, this bigger family that we call the church. And so Christianity is relational. It involves a personal relationship with Jesus, yes. But when we become Christians, by acknowledging Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, receiving him as our personal Savior, amen. John also wrote, to all that receive him, to those that believe in his name, gave them right to become the child of God. Now that's John chapter 1, of course, verse 12. And when we receive this Jesus, yes, we have a unique relationship with Jesus Christ, but it also opens us up to a new relationship with the people that are still on this earth that have the same relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah, because Cody loves my Jesus, Cody is related to me. Yeah, because Braden loves my Jesus, and I love my Jesus. There's a relationship there that didn't exist before. Amen. And so each one of us are related to other parts of the body. Remember, the scripture says that we're members one of another. Amen. And there's, you know, just as there's many interrelational and coordinated members of the human body, we're members of one body. Praise the Lord. So we're to serve one another in love. Everyone say in love. Yeah. Serving one another must be guided by true love. Otherwise, if we're not serving out of true love, then our motivations cloud our service. I really don't want to tell this story because it's not a pretty picture. There was a gentleman that used to come to our church years and years ago when we were first getting started. And he was probably one of the most evangelistic people in our little group. I think, if I remember right, I'm thinking within a 2-month period of time, he had led 4 different women to Jesus Christ. The problem was, he bedded every one of them. Yeah, makes you cringe, don't it? Yeah, made me so angry. I'll be very honest with you. Now, he left the church, of course, and but I was so mad. I'm not a fighter, but I was ready to smack him. Yeah. So what's going on there? Well, he was serving all right, but he was serving with a wrong motivation. And you know what? He tainted those girls when it came to church because he used them. Yeah. See, the Apostle Paul is telling us, and we just read it here, that we're called to serve in love. Yeah. And we're not to use that service and that freedom that we have to indulge our sinful nature. That's dealing with our attitude in the way that we serve one another. In church, now that was a pretty extreme example, but it's not unusual to see people being used to pump up an offering. Yeah. Having long drawn out offerings, you know. I'm just saying to you that we have to watch our motivations of why we do what we do. Amen. And so the apostle here says, you've got this new freedom. Don't indulge it in sinful nature. In other words, it's possible to serve others in an appropriate and a carnal way. And so what should guide us in our relationship with others? Here's the Apostle Paul. He's saying, serve one another in love. And to make the point clear, then he reminds the Galatians that the entire law is summed up in a single command, to love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. I think back to Mrs. Handley. You know, we just love those guys. What we were doing was not something that I was purposely trying to do for any kind of reason other than the fact that we loved those two. They were our neighbors. And that's why I said it, so it was no big deal. Right? There's no big deal. Yeah. It was a natural outflow of love that we had for them. Anybody would have done it. That was our attitude. Anybody would have done it. But not anybody was doing it. We were doing it. And I found out later that there were about a half a dozen, maybe a little bit more, half a dozen folks that were taking care of Cletus and Hazel. Yeah, precious, precious people. Yeah. And some of them didn't even go to church. Isn't that something? And yet the Lord Everyone say the Lord. The Lord put his love in their heart to watch over this elderly couple. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm here to say to you that when it comes to our unto other admonitions, and we've talked about a number of them. I don't know how many weeks we've been on this, and we're probably going to be a few more weeks yet. But let's not forget. Let's watch our heart. Let's make sure that our service is not being clouded by anything that we can get out of it. Let's make sure that our motivations are really because we love one another. Amen? And let's remember this admonition that God has called you to love the people in this place with the love of God. Amen. With the love of God. I'll stop there and we can pick this up next week. Praise the Lord. With the love of God. Serve with the love of God. Amen. Serve with the love of God. Amen. Well, why don't we stand up? Take hands with your neighbor. We'll do this. Praise the Lord. Go ahead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what's going on with my neighbors here, Lord God, and these that we're members one of. Sometimes in our communication, we let each other know what's going on. But for most of us, we don't know everything that's going on, and so we yield to the Holy Spirit this day. And we thank you that we speak blessings to every person, young and old. And may this love that's in my heart, Lord God, just filter down into theirs. And that anointing that you've placed upon me, Lord God, just touch every area of their heart and their life right now. And I speak peace, and I speak life, and I speak health, and I speak strength, and I thank you for your kindness for them. And your blessing upon them in Jesus' name. And everybody said with me, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to have Sunday school. Give us about 10 minutes and then Sunday school will begin. Praise the Lord. Any other comments, honey? Okay.